Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Basketball Fiends Podcast, brought to you by the RS Kino Podcast Network. And with me is, I thought I was going to have a fun, cool intro for you, and I lost it. It's Jesus, guys. It's Jesus, as always. Jesus, how's it going?
It's going good. You know, sometimes you don't need nothing flashy. Just, you know, it's Jesus. You know, sometimes it's just that kind of, you know, hey, it's just me again.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're here again on our 30th episode, Alex. So congrats to you, sir, on making it this far.
Congrats to you on making it this far.
Right. You know, we have.
Congrats to us.
Congrats to us. That's actually what I was saying, you know, that we still like talking to each other about basketball. So 30 episodes. And I think that's an accomplishment, you know.
Not bad.
You know, I feel like it feels like we got to our 30th episode faster than the NBA got to the first round of the draft. Has the NBA draft first round always taken this long?
It hasn't felt like it. I felt like this time around, they're kind of like stretching it out a bit more, and that's even without the after like pick like interviews, whatever it's called. So it's odd. Like I'm just watching the draft. I'm like, man, like it's still going. Like we're only on pick like 15, and it's already like getting close to 9 o'clock, and this started at like what, 7 or something like that. So it's like, man, 2 hours, and we're not even through the first round. It's a little, yeah. It's long.
It's long. Like, you know, it makes me think what the NBA draft will be like in 10 years. It'll probably be like the NFL draft, or like one day is one round, you know, because the NFL draft, my respects to those that cover the NFL, because that NFL draft is a beast.
That's nuts. Yeah, but that I get. I mean, it's a lot of picks, a lot of rounds, but I feel like the NBA, I think that one, with the NBA draft, that's a little bit more watchable, if that's a word.
Definitely.
Like you can kind of sit and get through it, whereas like the NFL draft or the MLB draft, like those, like unless you're really into it, like those are long.
Those are long, you know, because and it's also a lot more players to pick. You know, I don't know how we start talking about the NFL, and that's probably my fault because, you know, I brought up the NFL draft. But today's episode is going to be NBA draft heavy, specifically the first round. And you know, I just to kick things off, you know, I think there was no surprise who the Detroit Pistons were going to pick with their first pick, Alex. It was Cade Cunningham. I know they were saying that they were listening to offers and they were just trying to get a huge offer for this number one pick. And I don't think no team really fell for it. They're like, nah, we're not going to give you a big haul for an unproven player. He could be a generational player. That's how he's been, you know, talked about. But he's still unproven in the NBA game. So I think that's ultimately why teams didn't give the Detroit Pistons the large haul of picks and players that they were looking for. So that definitely wasn't a surprise. But from this first round, what is the biggest surprise for you, Alex?
Ooh, biggest surprise.
Or I guess not so much just biggest. I mean, or you know, a couple surprises that surprised you in this first round.
I think, which pick was it? I want to say it was the fourth pick.
Yes.
I think it was Scotty
Barnes.
Right? It was Scotty Barnes. Yeah, Scotty Barnes kind of surprised me a little bit. I kind of thought with all the talk with Jalen Suggs, I thought he was going to round out that like top four. It kind of felt like it was Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, and Jalen Suggs. They were kind of like that top tier, I guess you want to call it, of prospects in this draft. So it was a little bit surprising to see Scotty Barnes get snagged with the fourth pick, but I mean, hey, like it's no knock to him. Like if there was one player that may have like would jump over Jalen Suggs, it was probably gonna be Scotty Barnes. But nonetheless, still a little bit surprising. But I mean, hey, Jalen Suggs, I wanna say played with Cole Anthony in AAU.
I think you might be right. I kinda heard that, but I'm right there with you. I think That was a surprise because, you know, we kept hearing, that the top four players in this draft were Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, and Jalen Suggs. Now, we had heard Scotty Barnes impressing in these, you know, in these NBA showcase games. So his position on some mock drafts was going up. But for the Raptors to select him over Jalen Suggs, and look, they probably liked what they saw in him a little bit more than Jalen Suggs. Personally, I like what Jalen Suggs could have brought to them. You know, a good replacement for Kyle Lowry. Jalen Suggs brings that leadership that, you know, we all saw. You know, he led Gonzaga to the championship game. You know, he's going to have an iconic moment that he will never forget when he hit the halftime buzzer beater against UCLA. So it definitely was a surprise for me. Another surprise was here in my hometown, Houston Rockets, making a trade and getting the 16th pick and selecting Operin Sengun from Turkey, 19-year-old. He led the Turkey division. I believe he was the MVP. If he wasn't the MVP, I know he led them in scoring. One of those two. Right. One of those two. But, you know,
No, go ahead. No, actually, I wanted to ask you about that pick because when it came through, I was like, huh, I wonder what Jesus thinks about this. Like, I'm curious, but go ahead.
No, yeah, I had heard good things about him. They said that, you know, here's what John Hollinger, you know, one of the great NBA draft gurus. This is what he said. As I noted a few months ago, Sengun is the pearl of a strong international class and is still flying somewhat under the radar despite winning the MVP of the Turkish League. That league is probably the second best in Europe right now after Spain's. And the history says that when a teenager, Sengun turns 19 on July 25, crushes a good overseas league like that, the fail rate is basically nil. So everything I've read leading up to the draft, and granted, I didn't read a lot about him, but I knew his name was being thrown around as someone to keep an eye on, someone that scouts felt teams weren't taking maybe as serious as they should. You know, from the whole draft, he was the best analytic-driven player in the draft. So I definitely like the pickup. You know, he's a good low-post scorer. I've seen people call him he could be a potential a light Nikolai Jokic, which, hey, if that's not a bad comparison, the reigning MVP. So I definitely think it's a good pick. And that was a surprise. I didn't see the Rockets moving up to get him. And if doing though, I thought they would have used the 23rd and 24th pick, which they also had this draft. But no, they traded future draft picks. So the Rockets in this first round, they drafted four players, and all four players are going to be very useful for the Rockets this season and going forward. So that's my other surprise besides, you know, Toronto Raptors passing up on Jalen Suggs and going for Scottie Barnes.
I'm curious how he matches up in that front court with Christian Wood. See how they gel together, and maybe Jalen Green now is sort of like your James Harden. Not to say that he is James Harden by any means, but you know, it's sort of like that franchise guy for the Rockets, you know, moving forward.
Hey, and shout out to Jalen Green. He becomes the third Philippine player to play in the NBA. I believe his mother is Philippine. So, you know, shout out to Jalen Green.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I just found that out today. But now as we go from the surprises, who do you think so far in this first round is the winners of the NBA draft?
Ooh, winners. I don't know. Detroit just seems like a easy go to. I will actually say I kind of like Charlotte's pick with man, I'm gonna butcher this name and they said it. Book Knight.
Yes, I believe that's how you say it. Yes.
Is it Book Knight?
James Book Knight.
Yeah, James Book Knight. Yeah, I was like, okay, obviously his first name is easy to say, but James Book Knight, I actually thought that was a sneaky pick by Charlotte. He's a two guard, 6'5". I think he would match well with LaMelo Ball. I think that's like a nice solid piece to add to that backcourt. And I remember they were saying in the broadcast as well that you know, Charlotte could definitely become one of those small market, mid-market teams that can really start to attract free agents. And I definitely think it starts off with LaMelo Ball, and just adding Book Knight to that.
It's
really helps that out.
It's the LaMelo Ball effect. You know, if any team gets one player that brings excitement to a team, you know, and especially if he can play well on the court, it just makes one, you know, players want to play with the player of that quality. And, you know, we saw what they did. You know, they made the play-in tournament, and they're taking the right step in building that team. And finally, Michael Jordan has a team that he can look up to and be like, okay, I'm proud of this team. You know, so that was definitely a good pick. I like the one winner, I would say, too. So I like the Pacers. They picked Chris Duarte. I think he's a great guard coming out of Oregon, 6'6". I think he's really going to help them out. You know, Pacers are there might be sneaky good next year. You know, obviously Chris Duarte is going to be a rookie, but I think he's going to play above his stature. And of course, you know, I already talked about it, but I think the Rockets to me are one of the big winners, getting Jalen Green, getting Sengun, and then 23rd and 24th pick, they pick Usman Garuba from Spain and Josh Christopher from Arizona State. Now, Usman Garuba, one of the things I've heard about him is that he's a defensive beast. He likes to play defense. And how many times have I told you, Alex, I love defense. And that's one thing you can never have enough of those players on your team. One shout out to this. I do want to shout out Quentin Grimes from the University of Houston. The LA Clippers snapped him with the 25 pick. And I think he's really going to be a solid NBA player.
Ooh, Quentin Grimes.
He's that kind of player that now teams want. He's a great 3-and-D player. And I read this great story on SI.com about whenever he left Kansas to come back to Houston, Quentin Grimes spoke to James Harden. And he's like, hey, what can you tell me about Coach Kevin Sampson? And James Harden told him, look, he's going to get on you, but he's going to make you a better player. Trust me on that. And Quentin Grimes bought into it. And I mean, he made him the player that he is now. And there was this one quote or one little anecdote about Quentin Grimes, that when Quentin Grimes, I believe when he wasn't going full out to get rebounds, Kevin Sampson would make the whole team run laps and have Quentin Grimes watch. That way he can be like, that's on me. You know, that they're running right. Because of me. And you know, he made him the player that he is. I mean, you know, hey, they made a Final Four run. Quentin Grimes was a huge part of that. And I think the Clippers, that's a smart pick by them. I think he's going to be able to just go in there and be effective. So that's my, you know, winners for this first round.
Yeah, I'm curious what Book Knight. I really want to get this name down. I'm pretty sure I got it down. But with James, he actually was a solid scorer out of UConn. He had dropped around 19 points. I'm just going to round up to 19 points.
We round up here.
18.7 doesn't sound as good. But I want to say probably like the reason why he may have slipped down was because he didn't like shoot very well this past season. He was kind of inconsistent. But they did say in workouts that he shot the ball well. Obviously, there was confidence in his workouts. So I think that's where the appeal came in that draft pick. So, yeah, I don't know. James Book Knight is a little interesting. Like, I kind of had to do a quick little bit of research on him. Obviously, I'm no expert in him by any means. Like, I don't follow UConn basketball at all like that. But he seems like an intriguing pick, and I actually think it's a good fit to complement LaMelo Ball, because we all know the type of playmaker, ball handler that he is, where he can create his own shots, but also, too, he can create shots for your teammates, and this looks like a guy that can score. So I'm curious to see, or I think actually he's a very good fit that can really complement LaMelo Ball.
Yeah. Definitely, I've been high on the Charlotte Hornets all last season, so I definitely hope he can give them that push and be a great asset for them moving forward. And now from the winners, we go to the losers, and it sounds so bad to say who lost this NBA draft, right? Because I mean, all these players are all unproven. Everything we just said could be nullified, you know, in the next couple of years if none of these players perform right. But I think one team that I want to say I was confused, I was confused by their pick, so that's why I say to me they're the losers of the first round, were the Sacramento Kings. They pick Baylor guard Davion Mitchell. And look, I'm a huge Davion Mitchell fan, but I just don't see how he fits with the Sacramento Kings when the Kings already have their, I guess, cornerstone point guard in Fox. Which, you know, I'm confused, unless the only thing I can think is the Kings are like, who's the best one available? Then let's choose Davion Mitchell. Which, to be honest, there were other players that I feel could have helped them out more, you know, maybe up top, maybe in the forward position. Maybe they should have gotten James Book Knight or, you know, Chris Duarte or, you know, Moses Moody or Corey Kisper or even Alperen Sengun from Turkey. But yeah, Davion Mitchell, that pick really confused me. I'm worried a bit about the fit there.
Okay, yeah, so we are in agreement because I was going to say Sacramento too. Like what you said, I was like, okay, so it wasn't just me. Yeah, like it isn't to say by any means that Davion Mitchell, you know, isn't a bad player. I mean, he deserves to get to be in like the top 10. But like you said, it's a odd fit where you have De'Aaron Fox at the point guard position, which, you know, Davion played at Baylor. You have Tyrese Haliburton, who's pretty much your two guard, can maybe play like small forward. So it's kind of like even if you were to move him up to the two spot, you already have someone there. If anything, Sacramento probably needed more of a forward, whether it be the small or the four there. And yeah, I mean, it's an odd pick. Like, I don't really know where he would fit in that offense. I mean, very solid defender. I mean, he's definitely going to bring a solid defensive presence in Sacramento. And I know you love that. So, I mean, they got that going for them. But I just don't really see how he's going to fit. I mean, I definitely don't see him starting, you know, for sure. But how he works in the rotation is a little awkward.
Now, here's the thing, you know. Obviously, we don't have the foresight that the Sacramento Kings have. You know, perhaps they made this big thinking, hey, we're going to trade Davion Mitchell because he's obviously he's a great player. We know what he does. He's an NCAA champion. You know, he led Baylor to the NCAA championship last year. So maybe that's a pick that they're going to flip and trade, you know, because they were I know we're going to get into it later, but the Sacramento Kings were mentioned in a couple of trade scenarios for with the L.A. Lakers, so perhaps that's why they made that pick. They made that pick thinking, hey, Davion Mitchell, we're going to be trading you, you know, so we're just picking him right now. So that's what I'm going to say to myself is that the Kings made that pick thinking that they're not going to keep Davion
Mitchell. That's the rationality.
That's the rationality because I just, like I said, I think we're both in agreement. We just don't see the fit. And I think you brought up a good point. Even if you say you put Davion Mitchell at the point guard, Fox at shooting guard, Haliburton as a small forward, that's a small lineup. You know, I think Haliburton is what, 6'5", 6'6", which isn't that small for a small forward. But you're looking at a small lineup. And look, the NBA is going small at times. Maybe that'll be one of their small lineups that they use. But yeah, that pick was still. And look, we're not the only ones. On Twitter, everybody was like, what are the Kings doing? Why would they get Davion Mitchell? And just like you said, this was not a slide at Davion Mitchell at all. I think Davion Mitchell has a lot of fans. We've all seen what he can do. It was more so fit. So I think that's one of the biggest things we need to also have to keep in mind is that sometimes players with the team that get drafted, the fit isn't there. Perfect example, Cameron Payne with the Phoenix Suns. He was drafted by the Hawks, and he just couldn't catch on with the Hawks. For some reason or another, he just wasn't finding it. He went to the Suns. Who is this guy, right? Like, he was just a completely different player. So sometimes it's about fit. And you know, so that's why I think both of us are in agreement that the losers of the first round are the Sacramento Kings. Watch, I'm pretty sure as soon as we do this episode tomorrow, the Kings are trading Davion Mitchell to so-and-so and so-and-so. And it's going to be all even better.
Right. It's like better for him. Like, put him in a situation where he can succeed. And I feel like with Sacramento, not that he's set up to fail, it's just I find it more of a harder path for him to really find a role with Sacramento. I think that's sort of like where we're trying to get at is that we don't necessarily see like what type of role Davion Mitchell is gonna play with the Sacramento Kings. Like, I don't know how that's gonna play out even in the near future, let alone, you know, long term. So it's such an odd pick where you're just like, I don't know. Like, you don't really see how it's supposed to work or what their rationale is. But, I mean, hey, Sacramento's going to do what they got to do.
Sacramento going to Sacramento, pretty much, you know?
Yeah. Hey, so far they hit on De'Aaron Fox and Terry Saliburn.
That's true. That is true. Maybe we should give them their respect because, look, I didn't expect much from Haliburton, but I wasn't too high on him. He made me eat my words. Like, that man can hoop. The brother can play basketball, you know. And if it wasn't for LaMelo Ball coming back, he could have probably, well, I don't know, because I know he made off first rookie team, if I'm not mistaken, but he was up there for consideration for rookie of the year. And he would have probably came in second place if, you know, LaMelo Ball doesn't get hurt. But yeah. And what?
Yeah, well, he came in third, so that's not bad.
It's not bad. So I'm saying, maybe we're the dumb ones, you know, because look, like you said, they have hit on their two picks, Fox and Tyrese Haliburton. So maybe we're wrong. But, you know, before we get to our next topic and final topic, I do want to make a note about the emotional moment that we had in the NBA draft when the NBA honored late prospect Terrence Clark. Terrence Clark, he played with Kentucky. He declared for the NBA draft. And look, he could have been a draft lottery pick, but unfortunately, a fatal car accident in April took his life. And, you know, I if I'm being honest, you know, I got emotional just watching that scene play out on the NBA draft, watching his mom, crying. And, you know, it hits you because, you know, these players put in everything they have to get to this point. And the commissioner said it before the NBA draft, only 5,000 players have ever played for the NBA. So those drafted today are part of an elite club. And Terrence Clark would have been part of that elite club. And he had the talent to compete in the NBA. He would have, like I said, probably been a draft lottery. So, you know, shout out to the NBA for making that moment happen for them. You know, the NBA drafted Terrence Clark, so that was definitely a good moment from the NBA.
Yeah, it was such a bittersweet, just kind of give you chills moment. I mean, that's a moment that, you know, we were robbed of. Like, Terrence Clark should have been drafted. I mean, obviously the NBA drafted him, but, you know, it's so sad to see that a young man at literally the cusp of his dream, like you said, only 5,000 people out of all the people in this world that have ever lived throughout time, only 5,000 have made it to the NBA. And more likely than not, he would have been a part of that very, very exclusive club. And, you know, to not see it come to fruition is just, you know, it's so sad. And you know, just seeing his mom up there, like, it just breaks your heart because, I mean, you just, you know, she wishes it was him and not her walking up on that stage. It was supposed to be her hugging him and watching him, you know, walk up those steps and shake the commissioner's hand and take a picture. But, you know, that isn't the case. But, you know, still, I think it's a nice classy thing that the NBA did to acknowledge that, hey, you know, this kid, you know, was going to be a part of the NBA, a part of that NBA family. And, you know, we want to, you know, honor him in that right. So, classy move.
Classy move. And look, I 100% believe that he would have got drafted. For sure drafted. But I believe he would have been a draft lottery pick. You know, he has signed with Clutch Sports, you know, created by Rich Paul and LeBron James. So, you know, shout out to the NBA for doing that. And, you know, Terrence Clark, you know, he'll never be forgotten. You know, his loss would definitely be felt in the NCAA and in the NBA. But, you know, before before we get out here, this is our last topic. You know, Alex, the NBA went nuts today before the NBA draft. You know, we are recording this on Thursday night. And before the NBA draft, there were so many trade rumors flying around. It was tough to keep up. I'm sure you, as you were there at work, at, you know, with the Chicago Bears, you know, every chance you got, you would check Twitter. And I'm sure it was just like, what is going on?
Oh my God! Yeah, I was like, I was wrapping up, getting ready to head out of the office, and I'm seeing all these rumors floating around from Shams and Woj, and I was like, wait, what the hell? Like, I'm trying to just walk out of the building here, and now I'm seeing all this on my phone, and it was I think probably what we're gonna get into is the whole Lakers moves that they were trying to make. First, it was looked like Buddy Hield was on his way to the Lakers, and then all of a sudden that got nixed, and now Russell Westbrook is somehow with the Lakers, just out of nowhere, sort of, and it's like, whoa.
The Washington Wizards have traded Russell Westbrook, a 2024 second round pick, a 2028 second round pick to the Lakers for Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, and the number 22 pick in the 2021 NBA draft. And look, first of all, I'm worried about the Lakers' spacing issues with this team, you know, because Westbrook will be the third All-Star. I guess everybody is in agreement, right, that Russell Westbrook will be the third All-Star or the third star on this team. And, you know, typically you want your third star to be someone that doesn't need the ball in his hands, you know, maybe like I'm thinking of Chris Bosh, you know, somebody who can maybe spot up, who can handle the ball, but someone who doesn't necessarily need the ball in his hand all the time. That doesn't describe Russell Westbrook.
No.
No.
Not at all. Far from it.
So that was my immediate thought, Alex, was spacing issues, you know. But then I thought about it more and I was like, maybe it could work because there'll be less pressure on him, you know. And then here's something I thought about and I want to throw your way. Could we see Russell Westbrook be a six man?
Oh, a six man.
Because if you have him come off the bench, you'd be like, do your thing, Russell. Just do your thing, Russell.
Right. Like coming out of the second unit, it's like, I mean, he's going to be the guy. That's intriguing. I mean, I think for the most part, he'll probably just be thrown in the starting right, lineup. Right. I mean, that's probably the consensus. Like, he'll probably be in the starting lineup. But that's sort of an intrigue. I like that little hot take there where you have Westbrook coming off the bench. I mean, you know, the dude just brings so much energy with them. Like, he plays the game with a lot of passion, you know, a lot of intensity. And to have that come off the bench immediately, like, that's interesting.
Now,
whether or not the Lakers roll with that, I don't know.
Right, right. Now, that's a big thing because that's a big ask of Russell Westbrook. Now, you know, Westbrook isn't the young spring chicken that he was. You know, he's, what, 32, if I'm not mistaken, 31, 32? No, he's still as energetic as ever. But, you know, right. He in all this time, he hasn't improved his shot. You know, it can be consistent at times, but not that much, you know, right. More often than
he's streaky. Like, he'll have moments where he can get real hot and then other times where he's just ice cold.
Ice cold, air balls. But look, if he bites into a six-man kind of role, to me, the Lakers are a scary team that way because there's nobody in a second unit that can compete. Well, I mean, I'm sure there are, but I think they would immediately – you know, raise their level of play. And then here's the other thing. Just because he goes as a six man doesn't mean he's not going to finish games, right? But also on the flip side of that is, by having Russell Westbrook, with Russell Westbrook now with the Lakers, LA now has another ball handler. You know, now LeBron James doesn't need to do it all. And that's one thing that I think they were missing last year. When they won the championship, that was Rondo's role. You know, he was that secondary creator, and they wanted Dennis Schroeder to be that player, and in the playoffs, he just wasn't. Now, granted, he had COVID, so I know he was still dealing with the long-term effects of that. But, you know, having Westbrook, you have another ball handler, somebody who can create. But, again, spacing is still the issue on my mind.
Yeah, I remember I had seen a tweet where they were like, the size of spacing for the Lakers is like a shoebox, like a kid's shoebox. I forgot who tweeted it out. I should have saved it, but man, I thought that was hilarious.
I mean, it's
like, that stuff's so funny.
It's a pretty good description of what I was thinking myself is spacing, you know, and as we know, spacing is everything in the NBA. You know, if it's all clogged up, you can't make nothing happen.
Nope, not at all. So I mean, I'm curious. You know, when Westbrook gets there, and whatever offensive scheme they pull, is it gonna be sort of a pick and roll type of deal where, you know, Westbrook obviously pick and roll, like, you know, Westbrook tries to drive to the basket and instead of him, like, you know, forcing up a bunch of jump shots because we know he isn't the most consistent shooter, he is able to maybe kick it out to a LeBron, or if he's willing to, you know, step back into a role where he necessarily isn't the primary ball handler and he can sort of be an off-ball kind of guy a little bit, even though I doubt that's going to happen because he has to have the ball in his hands, but, you know, just developing into a role where he doesn't necessarily have to force up shots, he can, you know, be a little bit more efficient.
Yeah, definitely. Now, look, maybe, you know, Westbrook comes to LA and he's like, look, this is my time to return to the finals. This is my best opportunity since I went there with OKC. Let me change my game just a bit. Just a bit. You know, I can still be who I need to be, but just a little bit different. And there were a couple of other trades that I do want to get into also. You know, the Phoenix Suns, fresh off their NBA Finals appearance, acquired Landry Shamet from the Brooklyn Nets. And I love this pickup for the Suns. I know Twitter, which, you know, I know Twitter's it's Twitter, but we should, well, I'll say I like to speak because it's an another premier shooter. It's a player that has been in the league a couple years. You know, he has experience being in the playoffs with the Clippers, with the Nets, and I think it's a good pickup for Phoenix. And I think they just gave a future pick, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, no, the 29th pick in today's first round draft. So I like the pick.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't think it's like terrible at all. I mean, I don't know, just to add another shooter. I mean, who in today's league, like, you got to have as many shooters as you can. And so I think just adding him along with Cam Johnson, I think is really nice. Like Phoenix found like a nice little gem now with Cam Johnson. So to add him into the mix now, just to create more options, more spacing. Because, I mean, because we saw what happened with Phoenix in the finals was that in those first two games, you saw a lot of spacing where the ball, there was great ball movement, but then towards the end of that series, it was just a lot of one-on-one ball where it was just Devin Booker getting a small screen and throwing up shots. And I mean, he could hit as much as he could, but you just saw a lot of guys standing around. So it definitely creates a lot more options on the offensive end.
One more trade that I want to say, and it just dropped. I'm just seeing it. Once again, faithful listeners, we are recording on Thursday night. The Knicks have traded the number one pick, Keon Johnson, to the Clippers for number 25 pick, Quentin Grimes. So Quentin Grimes, who I'm so high on, will now go play with the New York Knicks under Tom Thibodeau. I think that's a good fit for Grimes. You know, Quentin Grimes, you know, like I said, a prototypical 3-and-D player that the NBA looks for. And I think he's going to be able to fit in right with the Knicks. I did like him with the Clippers, but I actually like him more with the Knicks because, you know, I'm a huge Tom Thibodeau fan because of his defensive tendency. So yeah, that just dropped right now as we're recording.
All right. Yeah, I would agree with you there. He's a greedy guy, and I think folding into that system with Tom Thibodeau, that could work. I could see that.
I can definitely see
that. I feel it.
We feel it.
I can see it.
And look, you know, part of the, you know, I'm sure once we finish recording and then once we post it tomorrow, it's going to be a lot more trades probably happen. But as far as today's episode, those are all our topic. But before we do leave you, listeners, we do got to say, you know, this is our 30th episode, but we're not going to have an episode next week. We're taking a 1 week break, and I hate to take a 1 week break because I like the consistency that we have built, Alex, but just because of where we are both in our personal lives, that we're both going to be moving. I'm moving this week, and I believe you're moving this week, or at least not in the next couple of days. So our personal lives are going to be kind of hectic, and I don't know where, you know, I'm still not even sure where I'm going to have my studio set up and all that. I'm not sure if, you know. So we figured this 1 week break will give us that time to get ourselves set up in our new homes.
Yeah, man. Actually, we just closed on our house officially.
Congrats.
So that was awesome. Thank you. Yeah. So yeah, we'll definitely be moving a bunch of stuff. I mean, it'll be a process because we got a ton of stuff. Well, you know.
Yeah, I do.
Since you're moving, it's like you have to go through, and all of a sudden you find stuff that you forgot you had, and then you're like, oh, should I keep this? I'm going to throw this out, and you're not sure. You're on the fence, and it's like, yeah. But happy to have a bigger home, bigger room. But, yeah, it's good. Man, dude, I just don't look forward to all the moving stuff because we got boxes, and it's a lot.
If I were to pan the camera, not that we're a, you know, video podcast, but we will soon be, to our faithful listeners, you know, something to look forward to. But yeah, I got boxes all over my house right now, but I think this 1 week break will be good for both of us. But then when we come back, we're gonna come back stronger than ever. You know, I know some consider the NBA draft the start of the next NBA season. And I think the NBA sees it that way. I personally see it as the end of the NBA season. You know, what are your thoughts on that, Alex?
You see it as the end of the NBA season.
I see it as the end. And here's why. Because all the players being picked right now, they had their basketball season. So it finished. You know, and to me, this is the end of the NBA season. And to me, the next season doesn't start until free agency starts. Now, obviously, I'm probably the only one in the world who sees it that way, you know, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, it was okay. I'm not saying it's terrible, just I never heard that before. I don't know. I never really saw like the NBA season ever like kind of ending per se. Like it just they all sort of blend in together like right after the NBA draft, and you know, there's free agency, then you got summer league, and before you know it, the season's starting up again. So it's like, I don't know, just one thing after the other. It's like you don't really feel it ending, just everything just like blends. I think
especially for these past two seasons, it feels like everything's blending, because these the pandemic season and now this season and the next season, they're kind of just really so close, pressed in together. So it definitely feels that way for sure.
Right, because it felt like the Lakers won the other day, and like now we're over here talking about the Bucks winning the championship. I feel like the other day we were just talking about the Lakers winning. Like it's just so bizarre.
It is.
And we just had another draft. Like I remember we were talking about LaMelo and how he was gonna fit into the NBA. And now we're all like, he's the guy in Charlotte. He's the guy to build around. I was one of those guys where I was on the fence about him, and now all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, he's the man.
It's definitely bizarre. As bizarre as next week not having a Basketball Fiends podcast. And faithful listeners, we're going to miss you guys listening to us, but we will be back. Our next episode will be August 13th, Friday the 13th at that. So let's hope nothing spooky happens. But with that, thank you so much for listening. 30 episodes. Congrats once again to us. Come back August 13th for our next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces. We'll be right back.